Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So today I'm wondering, what's your favorite comfort food? We all have our favorite comfort foods, right, that we reach for when we're bored or sad or angry or cold or tired or happy or, you know, works in every occasion, right? And many of us made New Year's resolutions, but comfort food doesn't figure into those, right? They don't count. And for those of us who don't have comfort foods, we have comfort behaviors instead, like playing solitaire on the computer till 2 in the morning, or working too hard, or gambling, or we know what they are, and we know why we do them. And in part, it's because we don't know what to do. The world seems a little crazy right now, like out of control. I don't care where you stand on any issue, the world seems out of control. And so we look to something to make us feel better, right? And that's what was happening to the people of Isaiah's time. And we've been hearing that throughout Advent and the weeks to come, how God kept sending Isaiah to say, you're messing up, you're messing up, you're messing up, you're messing up. And it started with idols, and the idols were wealth and jewelry and power. And then to add to it, he says, and the way you worship, yeah, you come and you make sacrifice and you throw your 2 cents in, but you're not doing it with your heart. You're not worshiping me. You're just like going through the motions. And we know what that's like, to be told over and over and over again that we're messing up. Some of us grew up in homes where our parents or teachers or neighbors or grandparents or our boss tells us, you're messing up, you're messing up, you're messing up. And at some point, although you hear the messages of hope and promise, you start to say, I'm not sure where that hope and promise is anymore. I just keep hearing how I'm messing up. But today's reading from Isaiah, you need to really hear it, because this is the message of promise and hope that is fulfilled every day. Thus says the Lord, who created you, who formed you. This is the God who created you. Says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And God doesn't say if, God says when, because God knows that we are going to walk through turbulent waters. I will be with you. And when you go through the raging rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. And then he continues, for you are precious. Do not fear, because I love you. I will bring all my children to safety. And he says, all my children, everyone that I have created, I'm going to bring to safety. And I'm not sure we hear that message enough or believe that message enough to live into that message. But today we hear in the gospel about the baptism of Jesus. We hear it once a year, every once a year, after the first Sunday after Epiphany. And there's accounts of the baptism in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we hear Luke's today. And if you remember, John the Baptist has been down by the Jordan River saying, people, time to repent. People, time to repent. And what we knew about the Jewish people is their whole lives were around what's clean and unclean and the ways to get clean again. But he wasn't talking to individuals. He was talking to the nation, because they also had communal guilt. And until you all get it together, bad things are going to keep happening. So he was inviting everybody to come down to the river to be baptized, to repent, to start over again. And it said that people were coming down to the river, and today in Luke's gospel it said, then after all the people were baptized and Jesus was baptized and Jesus was praying, that's the description we get, everybody was baptized, including Jesus, and he was praying, and that's when the skies opened. And the dove came down in bodily form, the Holy Spirit. And we heard the voice of God saying, you are my son, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And what a message that is. And what a message we need to hear. With you, I am well pleased. But just a little bit of an aside, scholars for hundreds and thousands of years have been scratching their heads. Okay, if Jesus is born without sin, why does he need to be baptized? We understand why we need to be baptized. And what they say is it goes back to the story of creation. When God created, and there's two different creation stories, right? One is humans first, and the other is creation and humans last. But when God created the earth and all that is in it, earth, moon, wind, stars, and he said, that's really good, and animals and plants and birds and fishes, that's good. And then humanity, and he said, that's very good. And he reminds us that we are created in the image of God. And we have heard over and over again about how we are beloved, how we are made in his image, how he knew us and formed us in our mother's womb, how he has counted every hair on our heads, how he knows us and knows our hearts and loves us anyway, how he cares more for us than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And what I know is that's a little bit hard to hear, so we don't really take it in. When I was on the Holy Land trips, the three times I've gone, Iyad has been the guide. And what he likes to say is, in the morning, he gets on the microphone on the bus and he says, have I told you yet this morning that I love you? And then he says, but in the afternoon, the love goes down a little bit. And then he reminds us in the afternoon when we ask the same question for the fifth time, he says, remember what I told you this morning? That in the afternoon, the love goes down a bit. God never, never says to us, the love goes down a bit. God has this ability to love us regardless, always, everywhere, and every time and in every place. And Paul tells us that in Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I'm here to tell you, if you didn't know, when we gather in the back, the choir and the acolytes and the clergy and everybody else gather in the back, I say a prayer before the service starts. And it's an opportunity for us to go from the busyness of preparing to just center ourselves for a moment, take a breath, and remember why we're here. And I'm here to tell you that on Christmas Eve, I distressed these people a little bit because when I stopped and centered myself and took a breath, I was overcome with tears and I choked up and I could barely get a prayer out. And people were saying, are you okay? Are you okay? And I kept saying, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. And as Nick gave me a big hug, and he didn't say, suck it up, buttercup, but that's what he was thinking. And I said, I am fine, but who am I to preach this word? And it's in those moments when the Holy Spirit hits us like a 2x4 that we know that we are completely, totally, utterly unworthy and completely and totally and utterly loved anyway, that I get choked up. That I say, yeah, maybe I can believe that God loves me that much in spite of who I am, in spite of what I do. And that God gave us this little baby, entrusted this little baby to us, gave himself to us, and said, I trust you. I love you. And this little baby grew up and said, you know, all that matters is that you love God and love your neighbor. That's all that matters. And he sent us the Holy Spirit in baptism and said, this Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and comfort you and sustain you and give you strength in those times when you say, I think the world's going nuts and I don't know what to do. in those times when we're reaching for the comfort food and just stuffing our faces or doing whatever we do because we don't know where to turn. So the next time you're reaching for that comfort food or comfort behavior, I invite you to turn to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and know the love that he has for you. Amen.